I was thinking that in relation to Brother Sam's question, that although we get the failure of Elijah coming up in chapter 19, we still have to focus on what is before us in chapters 17 and 18. Because in those two chapters, God wants to show us the kind of man who can be available for him. So that we understand that God's standards never change. Even though failure may come in on your part and mine, the standard, the kind of man that God has in view, which is the true man, Christ Jesus, never changes. So he wants to focus our attention there. So that we can also understand that God takes a man up where he is presently. That is, Elijah was in a state where he could appreciate the one before whom he stood. He was able to lay hold on that. And there was no question in his mind about the one before whom he stood. So he can speak with boldness about the God who is going to hold the rain back. And now he can speak in chapter 18 with boldness about the God who's going to pour rain out. And that he could tell Obadiah, you go tell Ahab, I'm coming. And he can tell Ahab himself, I trouble Israel, you trouble Israel. So it is the boldness of the kind of man that comes out in chapters 17 and 18 that God is looking for in you and me. Not the fearful Obadiah, but the Elijah who knows what it means to stand before God.
But you might say, Brother Dave, there is a contrast that it is important for us to highlight. Obadiah, because he feared, he compromised, and when he was asked by Elijah to do something, how could I do that? What are you doing to me? You forgot what I have done? So the difference was that this is a man that all of a sudden thought of his deeds that he has done. That when you come to the following chapter, it was a true man of God that had a failure. And that failure led him to abhor himself. Not to say before the Lord, you know, he says, I am not better than my fathers. Take my life away. Yes, he came to that point of a fearful thing from this woman. But at the same time, he recognized that he is nothing and he is as any other man and that he was not better than his fathers. And that's a big difference. One thinking highly of what he did and another one thinking nothing about himself being better than others. I think the problem with Obadiah is this. He talked the talk, but he never walked it. You see, don't lose sight of what he told Elijah. My Lord Elijah. Okay. So you're saying I'm my Lord? All right. Go tell thy Lord to meet me. So you see, he was just a man of words. That I'm going to submit myself to the lordship of Elijah. But when the test comes, he resisted everything that Elijah was telling. And I think by application, that's the case of many of us, dear brethren. Yes, we can. The brother is right. We can talk much of Obadiah. You know what? There was a cost. I'm sure if this woman knew that he hid these 100 prophets, he will be gone from the scene. But all what I'm saying is the difficulty sometimes with the Christians is that we walk, we talk about the Lord, but when the action comes to submit myself to the rights and the authority of my Lord, that's where we fail very miserably.
I think we realize much have been said about Obadiah and I think we need to move forward, but it's wonderful to see how the Lord can use a vessel like Obadiah, who does have, yes, many difficulties, but there is something for God there, and God can use that. But here it comes in the next portion, a challenge not just for one person, but it's a challenge for a whole nation that departed from God. Elijah, from verse 17 down, is challenging the whole nation that departed from God and went after what Ahab stated and Jezebel stated as the authority, the God of Israel, which is Baal. And Elijah is about to bring Jehovah to the front line again with a challenge not to the people of God, but with a challenge to Baal and his allies, which is Ahab and Jezebel. And it's wonderful to see that courage in a man of God like Elijah to bring forth that challenge. In my opinion, Obadiah could not bring that challenge. He hesitated even when he was asked to go and tell Ahab that Elijah wants to see him or want to meet with him. This is where we are. There is a cost, there is a cross associated with following the Lord. How much are we willing to do it? That's a question. But another question is, how much are we really taking the side of the Lord in our daily life? If identifying with the Lord publicly would hinder a promotion, would hinder a raise, would hinder, as we said, acceptance, would I shy from it? Let's move on, maybe touch a little bit on Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, to be mindful of the time. We're kind of like almost there.
Yeah, and just to say, that's why Obadiah is a steward and Elijah is a prophet. It makes the difference. We're at Mount Carmel, and I think Mount Carmel becomes the real test. It's going to bring to light who is God, who is the God of Israel. Elijah is prepared, and he's a very humble spirit about him here. He's not boasting in any way. The only time you get a little sense of Elijah being a little funny is when after the gods of Baal are not responding. He makes a kind of a joke out of it in a sense, but there is still an element of seriousness of the occasion, because when it comes to repairing the altar, you see how serious he is about the second bullock. But Mount Carmel becomes the place that's going to test who is God. It's going to prove that the altar of Baal has to come down in the presence of the altar of God. It's going to test us as to whether or not there is anything of an idolatrous nature that is in my heart that takes supremacy, the place that the Lord should rightly have. And that's what the test at Mount Carmel is going to do.